shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples.
Yes, for the samples, because seasonal allergies are no joke in the state of Tennessee.
Or Kentucky, where I spend the summers at Hopetown. I spend most of the summer outdoors and could not function without allergy relief.
Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D.
This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease.
You just described my exact state in waking up, minus the need for coffee.
I've been taking Claritin D for my allergies for years, and it's been an absolute life changer. I can be outside with the kids at camp without my eyes watering like a fountain, and I can speak without feeling like a frog has jumped into my throat.
But at Hopetown, a frog could jump into your boat or your bed, and Claritin can't really help with that.
That's true, but they've got allergies covered. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear.
Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter.
Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription.
Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear.
Use as directed. Hey friends, welcome to the Raising Boys and Girls podcast. I'm Sissy Goff.
And I'm David Thomas.
And I'm Melissa Trevathan.
And we're so glad you joined us for this conversation. Let's dive in.
I can't even believe we're having this conversation.
How long have we talked about doing this?
I think a year. And we have... I mean, I feel like there are a lot of ways we could talk about how we connected. Melissa is very sad. She's not sad right now because she's in Porto, but
yeah.
I don't even think she knows we're having this conversation. She would be very sad. But we go, I guess, I don't know who met them first.
You first, because you told me about Jackie.
Oh, okay. So we got to know your mom, and we've all four lost our moms. But your mom was the most delightful spitfire of a human, and you and your mom tag teamed and bought us, but helped us both find our first houses.
And we're just thankful you still like us.
I do remember your mom yelling at me in the
David. I remember her grabbing David by the shoulders and saying, when David's like, I don't know, we can do this. Yes, you can do this, David. Yeah.
She must have said multiple times, this is not worth it. Those Thomases are too much. This is not worth it.
Well, definitely, and I remember her saying to me, you are just like my daughter, Robbie.
Sorry. Huge compliment to you.
But will y'all talk about how you're connected to Daystar? Will you tell a little bit about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was in the very first Daystar group that Melissa started. You know, how long ago was that? In 30-ish something years ago. And I was in high school and was a part of that very first group before like this was really anything. And then obviously through the years, we just stayed very connected through our relationship. Love Melissa. She's like a second grandmother to my kids and to all of our kids and y'all, and been board members. Jackie still is, and just supporters of the ministry for all these years.
Dear friends.
Same. Melissa was my religion teacher in high school and had been my husband's religious teacher as well. And we just were in her girls' discipleship group. Mm. So a lot of actually the girls' discipleship group that she started in high school, we're all still really close friends, even though we're across the country. Yeah. And we all just felt such connection to her through that. And exactly. As when we moved back to Nashville, our kids were able to plug in and be involved in a much more, just much more everyday way. Mm. But they really, over the years, Melissa had jumped in and done all the things for our kids and for us, and still continues to be the voice of wisdom, that we all call when we're like, is this normal? Is this right? Yeah.
And as we record this, as you mentioned, Melissa, for her 75th birthday, decided to walk the Camino. And neither of you are the least bit surprised about that, are you?
No, not one bit. As a matter of fact, I sent a picture yesterday to our family group chat, and I was like, pray for Melissa, she's off. And all the kids are just like, go Melissa, we love it. She's so inspiring. I mean, does yeah, not amazing. Surprise us all that the she's things. Off for a month on yes. by herself.
At 75.
Doing yeah. It. Yeah. It's awesome. So inspiring. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is so inspiring. Yes, and not the least bit surprising.
No. You could have predicted that many decades ago, couldn't you have?
Yes, we could have. Totally.
Yeah.
Well, will you all start us off by talking about your kids, the work you're each doing, which is similar, kind of?
Well, Lee and I have five. Our five are 21 to 31.
Wow.
I know. 31. Can you believe that? Yes. Yo. And the baby just turned 21 a week ago. So we are officially all adults in our house. And everybody is, actually, everybody's in Nashville doing their things. And I'm still selling real estate. So still helping
doing
families find
job.
Home. And
yeah. And Bob and I live in Atlanta. We have four kids and their ages are 19 to 26. And I have a married daughter. She's going to have a baby this summer.
Yay!
They all live in Texas, sadly for us, but
all of them are in Texas. I hadn't even thought about that.
Yep. Two in Dallas, one who will be in Dallas in a month when she graduates. She's currently in Fort Worth, and then one in Austin. And so, just one left in college now after Ellie graduates. Well, she's going to grad school, so. Anyway, and I'm also in real estate. Love that because it's been a great transition, not having my own kids at home, just having the ability to help families and connect in that way, just to help them sort of walk down the road that we've already walked on a little bit.
That's so cool. Mm-hmm.
And hearing you both name those ages is a great snapshot of why we were so excited to have this conversation with you. This season of the podcast, we've been focusing on ages and stages and would love to ask you all both just, what has surprised you about raising young adults?
Well, I'll say two things. One is that they still like you by this stage, and they still need you. And so it's interesting because when you have littles and you have middle school and high school and all those ages, obviously there's so many physical things you need to provide for them and that they need. But it doesn't change just because they're aging up. It just changes in the ways that they need you. And so I think it more surprised me because it wasn't something I'd really put a lot of thought into when the kids were little, that by this stage of life, they're still going to need me. Mm-hmm. But, move more into the consultant role rather than the manager role. And it definitely is still very important in their lives. And then the second thing is that I don't know if surprise is the right word, but it was just been delightful to see that we still like them too.
That's so good.
As they become adults and they follow their own paths, it's just so fun to watch them become who God created them to become and be. So I would say those are the two things for me.
Yeah. And I actually tried to find this article and I couldn't, but years ago, before my kids were quite at this age, maybe when they were just at the beginning of this age, I think it was an op-ed or maybe it was an article in the New York Times, and the title was something along the lines of, your kids aren't your friends until they are. And I just remember it was so beautifully written, but it was really exactly what Robbie said, that all of a sudden realization of, oh my gosh, these are people that we really enjoy as people that we would want to invite to come out to dinner or want to invite to travel with. All those things. I mean, obviously we would do because we're family, but I think that was just a real surprise and awakening of that realization. And then the other part too is exactly what Robbie said, is that it's not over. Like, it is not over. It's really different, but we're still going. we're still parenting. Mm. We have not been able to check that box off yet. So for you loose checkers, yeah, good luck.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Oh, that's so good.
Oh, and we forgot to say at the very beginning, because we talked about this, it does not matter how many kids you have, how long you've been doing it. We are by no means experts, any people to think of in any way other than we are here with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's the biggest disclaimer we need to give is that this is not about like some expert position by any stretch of the imagination. We're just a little further down the road on this journey. And so we can definitely tell you all these left turns to try to avoid and don't go that way and live through some mistakes for sure that we all make along the way and just provide a little wisdom as sort of the sojourner who's a little bit further ahead. So.
But you are both so thoughtful and intentional as human beings, which we know and have known for decades, which is why we would want to have the conversation. And would love to know, and you kind of said some of it, but what encouragement would y'all give to parents who are in the same, on the same part of their journey?
Jackie has a great story that I encouraged her to tell you about that happened just 2 days ago. So I'm going to let you say that.
Well, it was actually yesterday. I ran into Trader Joe's and I actually called Robbie to tell her this story because I said, I have 100% become our mom. And you guys know she engaged with everyone, much to our dismay and annoyance as we were teens and young adults, all the things. And so I'm in the checkout line. Crazily enough, no one is behind me at Trader Joe's in Green Hills because it's always busy. But I'm in the checkout line and this the cashier starts just telling me everything that's just been happening with his 17-year-old daughter. And like I always do, I said, you know, it was some complicated stuff. And I said, well, I have these friends that have this podcast.
Aww,
and I said, you know, it's just such a great way to listen, hear how to say things, talk about what's going on. But the main thing is it helps you realize other people are facing this. So he said, well, I just told my wife, I'm done. I am done. And I was like, I shouldn't say his name, but I
don't tell say his name.
Anyway, I was like, you are not done. That's the thing. You can be done for 15 minutes. You might need to be done for a day. I've had to step back and be done for a day. But I was like, you've got to get back in there. It does. That is the one thing that you have to do is you just have to be there because they still need you. You still have to show up. You cannot be done. And he came out from behind the cash register and he just gave me this big hug in the middle of Trader Joe's. I've never met this man. And I think it was just the feeling of realizing other people are doing this. We're all doing this all the time. And it is hard and you're faced with complexities and all the things. And so I would just say as an encouragement to other parents, you're not alone. There are plenty of people out there that want to help you walk through your stuff. I have loved in this stage of my life seeking out parents who are older and just kind of what we were talking about before this started, they're still standing and really just saying, how'd you do it? How'd you walk along? And so I that would be my encouragement is just to realize that other people are cheering for you. Other people want the best for your kids to find who those people are and hang on.
I love it.
What a gift you were to that guy, Trader Joe's.
I really think it just was so coincidental that it happened right before this podcast. And I was able, and he pulled a bag out from under the thing and made me write it down so he wouldn't forget the name of your podcast. And I wrote down your names.
Oh, he's going to hear about himself and be so excited.
I'll tell you his name later on in case he calls. You will know.
That's a great story.
Sissy, are you headed to the lake this weekend?
I am. You're traveling, aren't you?
Yes, Chef.
Yes, who?
Chef.
Are you pretending to be on The Bear?
I am. I loved that show and how everyone in the restaurant called each other Chef. I'm wondering if you could do that with me just from time to time.
but you're not a chef. You're a counselor.
Okay, I'm going to push back on you there because thanks to Our Place, one of our amazing sponsors, I kind of feel like a chef.
I love Our Place. I have their pieces at my house and the lake.
I cooked in the Always Pan 2.0 this morning.
I love their colors.
Mine is sage.
I have the Always Pan and char.
What have you made?
A better question is, what have I not made? I even have the Wonder Oven. We made pizzas in it at the lake. David, did you know that most cookware and appliances are made with forever chemicals? I have officially swapped out toxic kitchenware and appliances for Our Place's non-toxic, healthy, sustainable choices.
Our Place is healthy and PFAS-free versus the industry.
Our Place is a mission-driven and female-founded brand that makes beautiful kitchen products that are healthy and sustainable.
Connie leaves them out on the stove all the time like decorations.
So do I. Most cookware brands continue to use these chemicals due to their low cost. Leading the change, Our Place has always been PFAS-free and offers the most durable, toxin-free ceramic coatings, ensuring a healthy, safe cooking experience.
In addition to cookware, PFAS are also frequently used in appliances, especially air fryers, pressure cookers, crock pots, and even the rim of blenders. That's why Our Place came out with non-toxic appliances that are changing the game.
And did we mention they're beautifully designed in beautiful colors that feel like art objects that elevate any home and make you feel creative in the kitchen? Find out why Our Place has 75,000 five-star reviews on their award-winning products, and they've been mentioned in the New York Times, Bon Appetit, and more. That's why you see Our Place in everyone's kitchen from Selena Gomez to David Beckham.
And David Thomas. Upgrade to Our Place today and say goodbye to forever chemicals in your kitchen.
Go to fromourplace.com and enter our code RBG at checkout to receive 10% off site-wide.
That's fromourplace.com, code RBG. Our Place offers a 100-day trial with free shipping and returns.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Okay, you two, we have talked about the balance of giving input and being quiet with young adults. Will you all talk about what you have learned about that tightrope?
I'm not quiet, so I'm going to let Robbie handle that one.
Yeah, she's not. And I certainly don't do it all that well much of the time. But I think that one of the things that I sort of learned early on in my parenting is, you know, one of my kids said to me at some point, you know, I am 17. I should be able to do that or whatever. And I was like, let me just remind you that I'm well aware of how old you are. And if you think for one second that I'm trying to raise you to like stay here in my house with me for the rest of my life, you're crazy. I know you're 17, but you're not ready to do that or whatever it was. And my end goal is here to launch you out into the world. And so as that occurs, I think recognizing as your kids age that we have to give them the respect that they deserve as individual people and humans, and recognize that our posture and our position as we influence them has to change. We can't be this, you know, overbearing presence. And my kids have raised an issue and I have come on super strong in the beginning and I just hear them be like, yes, ma'am, goodbye. And we're done. As opposed to, you know, the proverbial back door as you all have always advocated for. And the way that you, well, you know, you talk in the first person or you say, well, you know what, it's interesting because if I were thinking about that, I might think he might perceive me better if I said X, Y, or Z. And, you know, talking in generalities like that without being directive in your approach to your kids seems to be, in my case, a much more effective way of still sort of imparting the wisdom that you're hoping to impart, but also not coming across as sort of the I know everything attitude and that they just want to tune you out and turn you off. So I would say that as, you know, the being quiet versus speaking up. I'm not saying don't have resolve and don't express yourself, but recognize that they deserve the respect that any human would deserve as they become the people that God's creating them to become. And also, oftentimes, I know you all speak to this a lot, that, you know, the natural tendency that we have is to want to jump in there and rescue them from everything and all the things. But when we do that, it's such a disservice to God's ability to work in their lives. And so I think that being quiet when they're in a, you know, tumultuous place, or hearing that there's this professor that's giving them, you know, failing grade in spite of all of these other things, letting them sort it out on them on their own and by themselves, or those are the kinds of things that give them the, you know, the undergirding that they need to propel them into being successful young people and adults in the world. And I always love the phrase to begin with the end in mind. And so when you begin the process, whether your kids are really little, you know, you want to take yourself to where they, you hope that they do become or be when they're out of your house. And so those things that you do along the way to help raise an adult, whether it's teaching them to do laundry, whatever it is at an early age, do prepare them for that and allow you to have that position to speak into their lives as they get older without, you know, completely tuning you out.
I think that's really good.
Well, would love to hear. I feel like we a lot of times will encounter parents who are like, I just want my kids to be close. And I mean, obviously I'm a fan of sisters and feel like it has the potential to be such a rich, sweet relationship. And actually sat with a girl this week who she has two sisters and they're just not close at all. Mm. And I know their mom longs for that so much in them. So how would you say your parents encourage your relationship? What would you encourage parents to do who are raising sisters, wanting them to be connected?
Well, one of the things as we were kind of talking about that is just so much time together. I think that is something that you cannot get really in any other way other than time. I mean, we've all seen it from retreats that we go on to a vacation with another family to anything like that. And so I would just say minimizing the other things that pull you in your own directions is what I think would contribute to their relationships. They're going to be different. We're very different. All of our kids are very different. So it doesn't follow that they have to be the same in any way. But I think the time spent together would be.
I think also, you know, when you have, we have 4 and 5 children, but whether you have 1, 2 children, however, whatever you have, the more that you are able to remind your children that this is sort of a pack mentality. It's not just about you all the time. I'm really sorry. Yeah. You're a great person, but this world does not revolve around you. And for Watson, our son, to have to go to ballet recitals, or for them to have to go freeze and sit out watching a football game that maybe they would rather be with their friends watching a movie, you know, is the reminder that to put others before yourself is really what we try to do in practicality. And I think it breeds, or not breeds, it develops in them a sense of the world is not only about me. So I'm a better participant in it when I'm recognizing that. And I don't mean to sound like the world's meanest mom, but just to have that attitude in the way that you are treated. And it, in essence, that does bring you together to be able to spend that time that you're with each other, whether it's traveling together, participating in sports or whatever. And you're just kind of forced into your friendship. I mean, it's a little bit like go in the backyard and play. I'm not going to structure you into 85 activities today. And they do. And all of a sudden then they develop friendships and relationships that last with each other.
Yeah. So when Robbie's oldest, who is the only one out of all 9 of ours that is married, the day of her bridesmaids luncheon, one of the other kids was in the state cross country. Was it state cross country? Yeah. And so they all did all the things. And there was a lot of dismay from everybody, like, is this a lot of activity in one day? But that is how they had always been. So even at an age where they were old enough to make their decisions and say, no, we're not doing that. We're not going to cram all these things into one day. It was really important to them to be there for each other and to show up for all the things. And
so cool.
And that can't always happen. It can't always be done. But we were definitely raised that way. We sat through so many super boring baseball games. Sorry, baseball fans out there, but we were not. It was hot. It was dusty. Neither one of us loved baseball. Our brother was a catcher, which shout out to him. He's an amazing dad of littles. And it gives us a lot of time to talk about what it looked like when we were in the survival stage. So, yeah.
Mm. Well, two things that I thought of as y'all were talking. One is, I don't know if you had the same thought. We both have listened to this podcast with Kelly Corrigan was interviewing Claire Danes and Kay Bowler.
I love Kelly Corrigan.
I know, me too. And they said, all three of them, one of the things that they have in common, which they're all such remarkable women, was their parents basically communicated to them, you're not the only pebble on the beach. You know, which is so good. It was. It's a great podcast episode.
Yeah.
The other thing I was thinking as y'all were talking and thinking about your kids specifically, I don't think I could say this about any other families on the planet, but they've all been at Hopetown, and most of them have worked at Hopetown over the years. And we do this thing, for those of you who are listening, where towards the end of the week, something that Melissa has taught on gives a context for each kid to kind of sit in the front of the room, and everybody raises their hand to talk about what they've seen in them over the week. They get to pick three people. And if they have siblings, they get bonus people, which means, can you even imagine when either of their children are there? Most kids get three people to talk about them. These kids get nine. But I think every time either of your kids have talked about either their siblings or their cousins, I've cried watching them, because not only are they saying the most beautiful, I think I have recorded it a couple of times, been sneaky and sent it, texted to you, but they're saying these beautiful things and they're sobbing about each other. And I was thinking even that, and I don't know how every family can replicate that, but to have your kids have this time, like you talked about, extended time, that's away from you. You know, because I think if either of you had been sitting in the room, they would have felt self-conscious. They wouldn't have said those things. They just wouldn't have stepped into it. But it has been so powerful to watch. And I feel like one of your kids, we won't name which one, would say, we don't ever do this when we're not at Hopetown. Because I think you just don't have the opportunity.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what it looks like to do that as a family, but to create opportunities for your kids to stretch themselves when they're not with you, I think can be so strengthening. I can think of other camps that siblings go to and the siblings aren't that kind to each other at home and they're checking on each other at camp. But that seems to have been a really neat experience, significant experience for them. And so sweet to witness for me, which obviously I love all your children so much.
Well, but they adore y'all. We, over the years, just, you know, as well as we do, that they would prioritize Hopetown over anything we ever do.
Yes.
Or I had a chicken named after me.
Yes, you sure did.
How about that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it died quickly, but
Fox got it. Sorry.
Well, I'm glad to know you were named in that way.
I know. Yeah.
Sissy, summer is fast approaching, and I am already talking with parents who are thinking about how to fill the longer days in meaningful ways.
Me too. I've had multiple conversations this week with parents who are worried about their kids begging for more screen time in the summers.
Well, I think we have a great solution to offer, thanks to one of our sponsors. Whether you're staying home or heading out on summer explorations, KiwiCo is inviting kids and kids at heart to enjoy their first ever summer adventure series.
Kids from two-year-olds to teens can receive six hands-on science and art project kits over 6 weeks with enriching content and fun activities to accompany each project.
Every time I go to your house, I see a new KiwiCo project you've been working on with the boys.
It's one of our favorite things to do. Henry and I have been plotting to make a walking robot.
Can that robot clean up after college kids? If so, I need it at my house.
I'll report back.
KiwiCo encourages kids to get outside, explore, and stay off their screens. Awesome projects from the Summer Adventure series, like the Bottle Rocket Kit, where kids can build an actual bottle rocket, help to turn the outdoors into a playground of learning and fun.
As a parent, it can be hard to find creative ways to keep your children busy and challenged. KiwiCo does the legwork for you, so you can spend quality time tackling projects together. There's something for kids of all ages.
Build the best summer ever with KiwiCo. Get 20% off on your summer adventure series at kiwico.com/RBGSummer.
That's 20% off your summer adventure at kiwico.com/RBGSummer.
Well, thinking about those relationships, even thinking about your relationship, we get a lot of questions about sibling conflict, a lot. And so I want to ask you both a few questions to think about. We'd love to ask. First off, did you have it? Did you have conflict, the two of you? How did your parents help you work it through? And then how have you helped your kids work through it and then seen it impact their relationship as adults?
So I feel like we had a really clear, and this again may not resonate with a lot of people out there, but there was a zero conflict policy in our house.
Really?
And by that, I don't mean, because our mom, do you remember the word yang? I'm not going to have that yang. But the main thing was, you know, it wasn't that we didn't have conflict or didn't occasionally fight or any of the normal things. We are normal people. We have normal families now. We're all the mess that everybody is. But it was never, we were never ever allowed to disrespect each other. We were never allowed to call each other names. We were never allowed to say mean, hurtful things. It just wasn't allowed.
So you would have a consequence if you did? Or y'all just were...
I mean, we would have consequences.
I think we were too afraid to push
it. Well, yes. Yeah. That was definitely a thing too. But yes, it was the expectation. And I think in a lot of things about parenting, it is setting the expectation. The expectation is we don't do it here. And if that sounds unreasonable, you guys do it every day. Mm. It is the expectation if you roll up to Hopetown that you are going to be respectful. You're going to honor your friends.
Be a safe space.
A safe space. The same way.
Indulge in sarcasm and all of those things.
Right. All the things that you do here in group, that you do at camp. So the kids can roll up to camp and they can share all those things because they're not going to be made fun of. They're not going to be belittled. That was how it was in our house. And so the three of us, Robbie and I and our brother Tommy, that was just what it was. Now, again, you know, you disagree with your husband, your best friend, your sister, all the people, but it was never allowed to fester and become ugly in any of the stuff. And I think as a parent, you have control over that, of what the expectation of your household is. And sure, people lose their minds and say ugly things and then have to go apologize. But I would say that was our...
Yeah, I totally agree.
Experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think because of that, because they become your people and your safe people, that, you know, Sissy, for you, you are going to be the safe person for Henry and Whit too. And when they are in your house and you are helping them care for each other in that respectful way, as they grow up, those are still your trusted friends. You know that if you tell them and exposed all your faults and all your things, they are still going to be on your side. And that has translated to our kids as they've gotten older. And then as far as the Hopetown talking about each other, one of my best friends, her family has this great tradition that we incorporate sometimes, but they do birthday blessings, which is essentially the chair. Wow. Like when it's your birthday, everything from the whole year's kind of been saved up, and they really honor each other in that way. And it has become the reminders in the times of conflict that this is what we really think about you as a person.
That's sweet.
I love that. Yeah. Birthday blessings. This is just an add-on to all of what Jackie just said, but a practical way that my husband, I have to give him credit for this one, has continued to encourage our older kids at this stage in development and to really
growing their relationships with each other is that he made a little edict that when the first one left for school, anything that they did together without us, that he would pay for. Ooh. So to this day, I will get a message. Oh, we had dinner last night in Dallas. I came over from Fort Worth or whatever. And so we had to put a little bit of restriction around that because there was one day where there was like lunch and nails and then a little Lululemon stop. And I was like, okay, people, we're not talking about buying shorts every time you're together. Like, so we'll pay for your lunch and your nails. But, you know, we've got to draw the line somewhere. But anyway, it's that's really awesome. Sweet because yeah, our older children sweet. Married and then our son, who has a very serious girlfriend, they'll have dinner at least every other week in Dallas together. We're paying wow. for it, but they are spending that incredible. Time together and that's they just so cool. love it. And yes. I think it really helps foster that relationship because, you know, they are at the stage of life where a dinner is important and they, you know, money
need
is
help with dinners.
Yeah. 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 They need help with that. Yes. So. Yeah.
Oh, that's yeah. so cool.
Yeah. I forgot about that. That's awesome.
Yeah. yeah.
Way that to get awesome. Bob.
Well, I hate to even be getting to the end of this conversation. Y'all, this is so good. Okay, so if you each had to say what your favorite parenting advice you've ever been given is, what would it be?
You go ahead and I'll go
you
after
go
you.
Ahead.
No, you go here.
This is kind of like asking me to, you know, name my favorite book or movie. There's so many nuggets over the years and you guys share tons of them all of the time. Our Nana, we spent every Thursday night growing up at our grandparents' house.
Like you had a bunking party every Thursday night?
Every yeah, Thursday night.
Really?
Every Thursday night.
That's
yeah,
so cool.
For like our growing up. Yeah, wow. We really did. And
she'd take you to school Friday? Can you tell them I'm getting info would, for
yeah.
boys? She'd take she you
would,
to school?
Our mom would come get us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. And I mean, mostly more even during the summer, but this went on until aww. We were... A long time till we were adults and all the things. But then I was lucky enough when I had my first kids to be back in Nashville and Nana would come over to my house. And she would always say to me, honey, you can clean the house later. Enjoy them while they're here. You can do that later. Enjoy them while they're here. And then Bobby's mom, I mean, grandmom wrote this poem about the grass under the swing. Something about at some point in life, the grass is going to grow under the swing. And I think to me that the parents that really say, this is short. This is, you know, enjoy him now, invest, spend the time, don't multitask. David, your example when the kids said, don't iron mm-hmm. while we're watching the movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, those kinds of things really are the main thing. Just spend the time. And
I wish I would have gone first because that's what I was going to say too. We didn't even talk about it. But, you know, I think it's both Melissa and our mom who always said, enjoy your children. I mean, and that's the best piece of advice that I think we've ever been able to get. So taking the advantage of adventuring and doing fun things when they're little together and building campfires in the backyard and sitting out there and doing s'mores, always having a s'mores kit ready in your pantry, those kinds of things that are just little delightful nuggets that just bring you together and to recognize that, you know, not as Jackie's often said, you know, don't take yourself so seriously or what you have going on so seriously, but to recognize that really one of the biggest delights we can have in life is to really enjoy our children and to relish in those relationships and build them that strong foundation. And when you do, that pays off in dividends in the stages that we are in now. We love to travel and to do fun things like that. But it's funny because we had some friends invite us to go skiing a few years ago and all of our kids had other plans and they're adults or whatever. And little by little, one of them, they all were invited, but none of them could do it. One by one, they all joined the trip wow. until we had everyone, including our married daughter and her husband and our son and his girlfriend. So we had Jackson party of, you know, eight in or seven. I can't remember how many kids I have, but eight, yeah, with Kate. But anyway, so just to say that I think that just enjoying your children is just a real charge and something that sometimes we can lose sight of in the hecticness of parenting, especially with littles and middles yeah. and high school
such
kids.
Such a great reminder.
And I think the other thing too is just that we lose sight of in trying to always do such a great job is that very, very few of the decisions that any of our children or we ourselves make are life-threatening. Mm. Most of the stuff is really just not a huge deal. And so getting so caught up in that and not enjoying is really just to our detriment. As Melissa would tell all of us, just play. Play. Mm-hmm. It's harder as they get older because you sometimes forget because the decisions do feel big about life choices and all the things. But yeah, very, very few of those can you not, you know, take an exit ramp off of. So just enjoying while you're able.
So good.
Yes. We're going to need to issue a disclaimer at the top of this podcast, just that folks are going to want to take notes.
I feel like I'm doing that.
You all shared so much goodness, you two. So many thoughtful, intentional ideas.
Well, you know what I want to say is that there's the, in Psalm, I think it's 73 or 76, it said, being near to the Lord is your goodness, or I'm butchering it, but bottom line is that the message is, you know, let God be your good. And I feel like that is something that you all do so well and instruct so many spirits of parents who are bringing up kids along the way. And you do it in a way that's winsome and rewarding and pays off in ways that they can have practical insights in the way they're raising their children. And so much of, I think, what we both have done with our kids has been learned through Melissa and y'all and your teaching. And it's always coming back to, you know, pointing them toward the hope that we have in Him and recognizing that that is our biggest, you know, job in parenting. And so I just wanted to, before we ask if it's guac or queso, like you always do, I wanted to say that that has been such a blessing to us and our communities in so many ways. And y'all know that, but I just wanted to make sure to articulate that before we are asked about our taco favorite.
Well, and for everybody that is listening, that isn't here and does not have the ability to roll into the Daystar house, I love that you guys have written. I think it's been the best gift to so many of us. And being big readers that we both are, you guys can pick up the books all the time, go back and refer all the time. I'm pulling out the back door that you guys wrote forever ago all the time.
So kind.
It is. But because... Because we're further along on the journey, people are asking us, and I'm like, here, go to chapter 12. I've got everything folded down in that one. So I think just that has been such a gift and is really accessible for the people who aren't here.
Thank you.
Y'all are so kind.
Well, we are at that point now. So it's queso or guac and favorite taco time. Will you share it with us?
Excited to hear this, you two.
Always guac, even though I know you live on queso. And my favorite taco is the cauliflower, the Korean cauliflower at Mojo's.
I've never been to Mojo's.
Oh my gosh, you have to go.
Okay,
it's delicious. Margarita was not one of the options, but that would be favorite.
Okay. No, it's definitely guac for me, for sure. And your friend, Ford Fry in Atlanta, has the best restaurants. And our favorite is Little Ray, which is a casual restaurant. Their tortillas are so good. So really, just the basic chicken taco there is to die for. Bob and I go, and he gets six.
Does he really?
Yes, I get one or maybe two. And he eats every one of them. So anyway, we love that place, and that's my favorite taco.
We've gotten to go twice in the last year and had never been. Awesome. It's so good.
So good, isn't it?
And it's coming to Nashville, he told us.
Oh, is it really?
Wow. Yes. We can't wait.
I'm sure.
Did you know that we were in Atlanta recording curriculum, and Steve Giddens, who's our dear friend at North Point, arranged to have Ford and his wife surprise us at dinner.
No,
I hadn't seen him
really
in 10 years or something.
That
and so
really
we ate at Super Rico with Ford and Stacy.
Oh my goodness,
that's how fun!
Which
that.
Was so cool because he was ordering all the things. We were like, "Yes, whatever you want,
whatever you want."
I've never eaten at a restaurant with the owner slash.
Yeah,
I don't know what
really
chef he is, but
chef.
Yeah, that's really fun.
Yeah.
Y'all, thank you. This has been as delightful and wonderful as we knew it would be. I just was thinking, I just trust you both so much, your voices and who you are, and knew you would share so much wisdom. David, what a team we have that we get to call friends who help make this podcast possible.
Amanda Young, our operations manager.
Chris Starrett, our engineer and producer.
Our management team at KCH,
and we are thrilled to be a part of the That Sounds Fun Network.
Our music was created by the insanely talented Dave Haywood of Lady A.
And if this podcast felt helpful to you, please consider subscribing, liking, sharing, all the things.
We are grateful for you and cheering you on always.